coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn. It's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark, Sarah, and JC. We're covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
And today's show is powered by DuBloy Electric, building lasting relationships since 1967. From homes to businesses, their licensed, fully trained technicians handle it all. Repairs, upgrades, standby generators, EV chargers, heat pumps, and more. No job is too big and no job is too small. Learn more at DuBloyElectric.com. Also brought to you by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it, squatch it. At four locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at rupersbeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupers.
We have the pleasure of being joined in studio today by the owner and pitmaster at Burnt Ends Barbecue in Auburn, Kevin Cunningham. How are you?
I'm great. You got to add head bottle washer to that.
Oh. Head bottle washer. Yep. Okay.
Dishwasher and all-around helper.
Helper. Gotcha. Does it seem like you're more of a helper than an owner on some days?
Most days I'm a helper and an owner and everything else.
Okay. And a dishwasher.
But I have a great team, so I can't say I'm everything because they do a really fabulous job.
That's right.
You do have a great team.
I do love
there.
My people.
Yeah, they're nice people.
They are. We pick and choose. Somebody said to me once, like, how do you get? I says, we hire fast and we fire faster.
Oh.
Well, if they're not a fit, we've got a vibe. We've got rules. We have two rules that we live by. We run the whole restaurant by them. The first one is to be a good human. And, you know, be a good human is, like, hard. Like, you know, you have to be kind to your coworker. You have to be kind to the customers. You have to be kind to each other. But, like, I use this great analogy when I'm hiring. I had an employee that was, he was sick, and he had been out for a few days. And then he came back to work because he couldn't afford to lose another day's shift. Yeah. And he was, he shouldn't have been on the line. No way. We go down in flames. And he's going to get everybody else sick. So the cooks on the line decided that they knew that he couldn't lose another day's pay. So they ended up putting him in the dirty dish area and gave the dishwasher an opportunity to work the line and then came to me and said, we've fixed this. Is this okay? And that is the epitome of being a good human. Like, they took care of everybody and dinner service and made sure the restaurant didn't go down in flames.
Yeah.
Like, that's being a good human. And, of course, the other rules, don't serve shit.
You can't. You're not going to be in business very long.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear more about that.
Right. That's right. You got to put that on a t-shirt. Uh-huh. You got to merchandise.
This summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Sounds mm-hmm. good. We are happy to have you on the show. We are going to talk to Kevin all about Burnt Ends Barbecue and a whole lot more coming up here in just a bit. But before we do, let's take a look at some headlines for Monday, November 17th.
The Sun Journal reports that a special election for Maine House District 94 representing Lewiston could be on the way after Kristen Cloutier vacated the seat on October 31st. So far, City Councilor Scott Harriman, School Committee Member Janet Bowden, and former School Committee Member Kieran Majerus-Collins will vie for the vacancy. The Lewiston City Council will vote tomorrow to request a special election.
Maine Family Planning is launching a $6.5 million fundraising effort to ensure access to reproductive health care in the wake of federal funding cuts. The losses of Medicaid reimbursements and Title X funding represent 40% of its budget.
The state of Maine saw 23% fewer overdose deaths through September compared to the same time last year and 37% fewer deaths compared to 2023. Overdose deaths in Maine peaked at 723 in 2022.
And nearly $35 million in funding included in the legislation to end the government shutdown will benefit 20 projects throughout Maine. Funding includes over $1.3 million for the University of Maine system and $750,000 for the A.B. Ricker Memorial Library in Poland. Now it's time for the weather.
Weather? Rain or shine, it's all okay. Grab your uke and start the day. You don't need perfect skies above. Hey, just a song and a little love.
You left me hanging.
I didn't know that was a thing we did every time.
Oh, my God. We've been doing it for 300 episodes.
Cloudy all day with a high of 38 and a low of 31. Sunshine returns tomorrow with a high of 41 and a low of 30. And more sunshine on Wednesday with highs in the low 40s.
In sports, Jaylen Brown's 33 points led the Celtics over the LA Clippers, 121-118. Boston will visit the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow night.
Well, the Bruins are on a streak too, yeah? They're going to host the Carolina Hurricanes tonight at 7 without Charlie McAvoy, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Charlie took a puck to
the
face.
See that tooth fly out of his mouth?
Oof,
ooh,
that was brutal.
Baby.
Bates College field hockey lost to Tufts University 3-1 in the NCAA tournament quarterfinal. The Bobcat season ends with a 16-4 record. It was an amazing run for the Bobcats, too. Four playoff games. They didn't give up a goal until yesterday.
They've been doing great. Bates in general is
incredible.
Been fabulous sports program.
Absolutely.
Central Maine Community College men's soccer will take on Cincinnati Claremont in the USCAA Division II National Championship this afternoon at 1 p.m. in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Go Mustangs! The Maine Nordiques dropped a pair of games to the stinking Maryland Black Bears, 5-2 on Friday and 3-2 on Saturday. The Nords hit the road to take on the stinking Rochester Junior Americans this weekend.
The NA3 Nordiques visit the New Jersey Titans tomorrow and Wednesday at 3 p.m.
The Lewiston Maniacs have won 8 in a row. They'll visit the Connecticut Chiefs this afternoon at 12:30.
That's a lot of games in a row.
Sure is.
In high school football, Levitt beat Herman 47-14 to advance to the Class C state final. They'll play Greeley on Saturday at Lewiston High School.
That is your news, weather, and sports. And right now it's time for the podcast segment that is Sweeping the Twin Cities. Kevin, I was expecting you to join in.
Sorry.
As a loyal listener, you got to know the cues. It's time for Famous People Birthdays.
Famous. It's the birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays.
Let's take a look at FPBs for November the 17th, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty then. We're going to start off with singer Ronnie DeVoe of New Edition and Belle Biv DeVoe, who is 58 years old today. And I want to clear up a little confusion.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, Ronnie DeVoe is actually the DeVoe in Belle Biv DeVoe.
Got it.
A lot of people thought he was Belle. Turns out he's not.
No.
So I want to set the record straight. This morning on November 17th, Ronnie DeVoe is the DeVoe in Belle Biv DeVoe.
DeVoe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was born in Massachusetts. Roxbury.
Roxbury. Look at that.
Ooh,
kid.
I know, right? Rough. Rough.
Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio is 67 years old today.
Oh.
She played Gina Montana in Scarface.
Uh-huh.
She was also in The Color of Money. I believe she played Tom Cruise's love interest in that 1986 film, and she's done other stuff as well, but I think it's probably what she's best known for.
Mm-hmm.
Actor Stephen Root, 74 years old today. You know who Stephen Root is, Sarah.
I was told that I could play my music at a reasonable volume.
That's the one. What's that character's name?
Milton.
Milton on Office Space. The one with the one with the red stapler. That is Stephen Root.
It's my swing line stapler from home. I have a red swing line stapler from home on my desk at work.
My goodness, that movie is 26 years old.
Ooh. So good. He was so good in that movie, too.
He also voices Bill Dotrieve and Buck Strickland on King of the Hill.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He's been in a bunch of good movies. No Country for Old Men.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes.
Yep.
Dodgeball.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Dave?
Yep.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, funny guy.
He's
duck,
very
dip, what is it? Duck, dip, dive, dodge. Dive, dodge, I don't know. It's a great movie.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Yep.
That's
hatches.
Right.
Hatches.
Wasn't he also on a TV show with Dave Foley from Kids in the Hall?
Oh, yes. News Radio.
Yeah.
Good
yeah,
pull.
Yeah.
Check out the big brain on Sarah.
Yeah.
Right?
She's diving deep.
Creator and producer of Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels, 81 years old today.
I love listening to him talk because he has the weirdest voice.
He does have a weird
so
voice.
Strange.
Yeah.
He's given us so many moments that we'll never, ever forget.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Countless.
Some of them we might want to forget, but
yes,
a lot of them we don't ever want to forget.
Right.
Like Head Wound Harry. I could do without that in my mental repertoire.
I mean, some of the Coneheads were great, but some were really bad.
Some were bad.
Sure. You're not going to win them all.
He's great.
But Lorne, he launched SNL in 1975, and it ran for 5 years, and then picked up again in 85, and he has been producing it ever since.
One thing you could say, too, for him is he has a good eye for talent. Whether you like his shows or not, like, he has good eye for talent.
All across the political spectrum, and you still got to love the shows. I mean, every comedic hero I've ever seen has been on that show.
Runs through Saturday Night Live.
Anybody know who the first host of Saturday Night Live was back in 1975?
No, who was it?
George Carlin.
George Carlin. Look at you. Look at the big brain on that guy.
What's up?
Actor and director Danny DeVito is 81 years old today.
I love Danny DeVito.
Kevin, tell me you used to watch Taxi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, absolutely.
One of the greatest characters ever. Louis De Palma in Taxi. That show ran from 78 to 83. Danny's done it all. Literally, he's done it all. He's been in War of the Roses.
That was a great movie.
Yes. Batman Returns.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Penguin. He played the Penguin.
Penguin,
right? Yeah, he was a great Penguin.
Throw Mama from the Train.
Twins.
Yep.
Twins.
I love Twins. Yep. Twins was amazing. Yep.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
He voiced the voice.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah.
The voice of the Lorax, too, in the Dr. Seuss animated movie. Yep. He was great.
He is. Just a treasure.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia, too.
And rounding out FPBs for November the 17th is director Martin Scorsese. 83 years old today.
Come on.
Yeah. Four of Martin's films have been inducted into the National Film Registry by the Library of Congress as culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant.
Oh, geez. I wonder which ones.
I can tell you.
Four.
Yeah?
Raging Bull, Taxi Driver, Mean Streets, and Goodfellas.
Wow.
Those are your FPBs for November the 17th. Mm-hmm. Now it's time for some OTDs.
It happened on this day. It happened on this day. It happened on this day.
Nice.
All right. Kevin was bopping along to it.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
JCD
sang.
Get
that Wayne's World vibe.
Yeah.
Not well.
Okay, good. You'll fit right in. Well, outside of Sarah's jingles, of course.
Oh. Thank you. 22 years ago in 2003, Arnold Schwarzenegger was inaugurated as governor of California, the governator. It took Californians 7 years to terminate him.
Aw. I see what you did there. I see what you did. Because of the thing.
36 years ago in 1989, Disney's The Little Mermaid was released. I loved that one. 52 years ago in 1973, President Nixon denied any wrongdoing in the Watergate scandal, saying in a speech at Disney World, quote, "People have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I am not a crook." That's very
famous. In Fairyland.
Right.
You know, why Walt Disney? Why?
You're trying to tell me a politician lied?
Maybe.
I won't have it.
Yeah.
Not having
it. They don't believe it. Mm-mm. 57 years ago in 1968, NBC outraged football fans by cutting away from the final minutes of the New York Jets-Oakland Raiders game to begin its very special presentation of Heidi. On time. Fans missed seeing the Raiders come back from behind and score 14 points in the final 65 seconds to beat the Jets 43-32. Can you even imagine
hilarious.
That happened today?
I don't know how many people lost their jobs over that.
Oh, my gosh.
Or their televisions.
Oh, yeah.
How many people were probably took a sledgehammer to their head? So mad. Oh, my gosh.
I was going to say they probably threw their TVs out the window, but TVs were too heavy.
They were too heavy to pick up and throw.
Yeah, too heavy back then.
You got to call a neighbor
over. You needed like four people to move your TV.
Let's go, you guys. We're all really mad. Throw it out the window. And lastly, 63 years ago in 1962, Big Girls Don't Cry by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons hit number one.
There you go.
There you go.
Those are your FPBs and OTDs for November the 17th.
Whether you want a sit-down meal or a grab-and-go, Pat's Pizza in Auburn offers delicious sandwiches, pasta, salads, and pizza at family-friendly prices. Pat's Pizza, serving the L.A. area since 1985. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 85 Center Street in Auburn. Online at patsauburn.com.
Hi, it's Donna Harris from Phoenix No Limits Karate here with your daily safety tip. Never accept a drink from someone you don't know. Let's all do our best to keep our community safe.
Now, we shift focus fully to our esteemed guest in studio, owner, pitmaster, dishwasher at Burnt Ends Barbecue, 120 Center Street, right up the road from us in the great city of Auburn, Kevin Cunningham. Kevin, when did all of this madness begin?
I remember.
Take us in the Wayback Machine.
Okay, we'll go to the Wayback Machine. I was out of food. I wasn't in restaurants. I wasn't cooking. COVID had just happened, and I got out. I saw the writing on the wall. I have friends who run a business, and he landscaping company, and he said, "I says, hey, I you want a warm body that'll work really, really hard, and would love to be outside every day?" And sure. So I went and worked for him, and my wife told me one day that you need to go back to restaurants. And I said, why? Because you're yelling at everyone in the kitchen. And everyone, meaning my family. And it kind of struck me that I didn't want to work for anyone anymore. I didn't want to do what I do for people that don't understand it or don't appreciate it or don't understand that there are really down times and there are really up times, and there are times that a restaurant bleeds money aggressively and there are times that it makes money, and that's just that's a restaurant. That's our industry. And she said, then do your own thing. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
Wow.
I want you to understand that my entire career, I never, ever, ever wanted to own a restaurant. I was so anti-owning a restaurant, it was insane because I lived it and I knew the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs and the pain points and the days that you want to go home crying and the days that you can't go to sleep because you're so excited.
And your loving wife, Jill, was like, yeah, do that.
Yeah, that's literally what she said.
God love her.
She clearly had a moment of total lack of mental agility.
No, I think she knew what was inside your heart.
I love what I do. I love food. Yeah. I love people. I love that. I love everything about it, that whole part of the world. So we started looking around, well, what do we want to do? Well, I don't want to do what everybody else is doing, although I have friends in the industry now that tell me that you should have done what everyone else is doing. So we started looking at locations, and we started looking at concepts, and I'd been barbecuing a lot in my backyard, cooking a lot of ribs, smoking briskets, doing that kind of thing. And I love that kind of food because barbecue is comfort food. Barbecue is love. Mm. Like, it's, you sit there and you eat a big plate of food, and everybody sits down and has this great, glorious meal, and it's like Thanksgiving in the middle of summer.
Mm.
So we found a location. We pulled the money together. We opened the Lewiston location purely out of our pocket just about 4 years ago. And we got going, and, you know, I had a great – Paul Rancourt was our landlord, and he worked with us, and it was a great experience, and lost a lot of money and realized that it wasn't just going to make it over there, and that counter service definitely wasn't going to make it in Lewiston. But we kind of knew that that spot just wasn't going to survive for us. Mm-hmm. So then we started looking. So a year in, we started looking. We started saying, okay, well, I think we've got some proof of concept because – we've done a lot of catering, which is great. My wife and I catered 2 weddings a year for the last 5 years prior to doing this. We did weddings on the side. People wanted us to come do a wedding for them. Sure, it paid for, like, Christmas or something. And then we got Lewiston, and we figured out that Auburn was the spot. And understand that we shopped. Like, we looked at Scarborough. We looked at Augusta. We looked at some areas. And this was really the best solution. And, you know, proximity was awesome. And knowing the community and being able to take our customers with us versus not. So then we moved to Auburn. And it's been just about 2 years now. And it's super exciting.
I remember in your Lewiston location, you would sell out.
Yes.
You'd sell out of food. And I remember people, I would be like, hey, have you tried that new place? And people would be like, we tried it, but they didn't have any food left. And they closed. And they were like, wow, that's impressive. So I mean, I'm surprised to hear you say that Lewiston wasn't the best for you.
Well, we had to be very conservative in how much we would cook every day. So you can't just go flat out and be like, I'm going to do 200 pounds, and I'm going to do 10 racks of ribs and 6 briskets and...
And then have all that left over.
You got it.
Yeah.
So we cook briskets overnight. So we decide today what we're going to have for brisket tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So we put the briskets in at 8 o'clock at night. So if I all of a sudden get real busy for unexpectedly or without any really knowledge of beforehand, all of a sudden we're out of brisket at 5 o'clock. Yeah. It's gone. And we got so many racks of ribs and, you know, so much pork belly and so much pulled pork. And I used to have a rule that once we were out of three meats, we should close. Three or four meats, because then all of a sudden everybody's going to jump on the last two. You know, we would cook two turkey breasts every day, and we still do. We cook two turkey breasts every day, and sometimes we're out of turkey at 6 o'clock at night, and sometimes it's 8 o'clock and we're closing, and I'm chopping it up and put it in the meat that I'm going to cook chili with tomorrow.
Chili. I like that you do that, that you would use yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Absolutely. Chop it all up, add some veggies, add some seasoning, put some beans, put it on the stove, get a cook-off, get it bubbling, happy, hot, and it's tomorrow's chili.
There you go.
So the new Burnt Ends is just awesome.
Thank you.
5,000 square feet.
Yep.
When Jill told you to do your own thing, did you have a vision of what that was?
Yes and no. I had a vision of lots of these. Mm-hmm. I had a vision of barbecue really taking off. And I've learned that barbecue is very much so a slow mover in the state of Maine, for lack of a better term. It's not like Southern barbecue where it's ingrained into their fiber of their lives where, you know, you're going to go on Sunday and you're going to pick up barbecue for the family. And this week we're going to go to Mark's favorite place. And then the next week, Sarah's going to pick up barbecue from her favorite place. And then the week after that's going to be my favorite place. And then Mom and Dad are going to get their favorite place. And we're going to have family dinner on Thursday night or Friday night or Saturday or Sunday. And that was what it was, is they'd go acquire all that barbecue. They'd leave with cardboard boxes of barbecue for, you know, a family of 20. And it's just not, it's not in the fiber of people here, which is fine. We get lobster, like, we've got fresh haddock from the ocean, like, right up the street. Yeah. So, you know, we have some things that other parts of the country just don't. But it's growing and it's getting stronger. And catering is really the piece that just, it's amazing. But the restaurant's huge. We have fun there. Like, we legitimately have fun. We have a great time. We've got a huge bar, 25-seat bar. It's one of the biggest in the area. We get to do events. We get to do chamber breakfast there. You know, we can seat. We have 150 seats in the dining room, and our license gets us to something like 250. Like, I can add another 100 seats tomorrow if I wanted to. I don't have 100 customers to fill them today, but in a few years we will.
Yeah.
You know, like any other restaurant, it takes time. It slowly grows into people's beings and routines and the fabric. And, you know, people ask me, "Well, gee, you don't see these people all the time." Like, I don't. I just want to be on the dance card. Right. I don't want to see you twice a week, but if you're in twice a month, like that's it. I mean, you know, but that's barbecue. Come in every now and then, and you know, and we offer the big giant family platters and the feast and things like that. That's really, it's kind of who we are.
You guys have a great thing going there. You have a great bartender too.
Yeah, we really pride ourselves on making sure that when we talk to people, to bring people on, to bring people part of our team, it is the personality has to fit first. Like, they might not have the skill set. Now, we're blessed. Sean has the skill set. But we want to make sure that people have that vibe. They're who we are. They're, you know, we're looking to have great customer experience. We're looking for people to have a really good time. And we're looking to make sure that people are smiling and getting what they want. But also that we're laughing together. We're having a good time. We're going to spend so much time together, we might as well like each other.
You do seem to have that vibe. Yeah. And I will note, Sean was nominated for one of the finest under 40 spots this year for the
same. One of the finest under 40, whether he wins or not.
That's, aw, man.
This guy
over here. What are some of the more popular menu items at Burnt Ends, Kevin?
So our pulled pork is amazing. It's glorious. I would stack it up against anybody's pulled pork in town and anybody pulled pork in the area. Like New England, I'm fine with that. It's great, and it's not too fatty, it's not too rich, it's not too dry. It's really got a good balance to it. Our wings are the best around.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, our wings are definitely fire. They're big. They're just seasoned right, and I don't sauce them. So you get a dry, smoked, crispy wing, and I'll give you five sauces, and you get to play however you want.
Yeah, Kevin taught me how to eat wings. You just take the little flats and you give them a little twist and pull and the whole thing comes apart and you can just,
All right.
So good.
Good time. We try to be the solution rather than the problem. I guess that's the best way to describe it. So when we had Bag to Ties Maine here, they were trying to get multiple restaurants to do the food.
That's right.
And it just came down to all the buses having to go to different places and people having to pick. And I'm like, just bring them all here. I could get them in and out in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And you did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I deliver.
I was there.
At no point in time do I tell you I can do something and I fail. And I still say every single person should do 2 to 3 years in a kitchen or a dining room.
I agree, 100%.
Really builds character.
Oh, absolutely. You find out what you're made of.
Yep. Yeah. And it teaches you how to work with people.
Yep.
Teaches you how to deal with customers.
Yeah. Social skills, everything.
Yep. You know? Thinking quickly. Yeah.
I agree.
On the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's a burnout business.
I wanted to see if you agree with this because it's one of my favorite stories from this particular individual. Are you familiar with Heidi Parent? She was on Hell's Kitchen. I think it was season 14. She's from Auburn. Now she teaches culinary arts in Augusta, I think at UMA.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So she and I got to be guest judges at the Mrs. Maine pageant.
Right.
For some reason, they just put a bunch of weird people together.
And the best judges.
Yeah, so that's how we met. And I told her what I did and then had her on the show. And I've interviewed her a couple times. And I was asking her, like, outside of Hell's Kitchen, I've seen other kitchen-related shows. My wife and I used to watch them on a pretty regular basis. And I was like, Heidi, what is it about the restaurant industry? What is it about working in a restaurant that makes people so angry and crazy and, you know, just want to pull their hair out? And she said, Mark, people are hungry and they want their food. Is that accurate?
That is absolutely accurate. You like it or not, somebody out there is saying, where's my steak?
Yeah. Right.
Where's my brisket?
Yeah.
You know, where's the ribs? Where's the pork? But there's not like, sorry, it's going to be a minute. It's no, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Where's my dinner?
Yeah.
I eat out a lot. Because after you cook for a living, you generally don't want to cook
for yourself.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I have more grace than anyone when I come to a restaurant. But at the same time, like, I'm hungry. Yeah. Can I get some food, please?
Excuse me, can I please have something to eat?
We talked about this before we started recording, but I think it's definitely worth mentioning on the podcast, your gluten-free options, because listeners of this podcast know that my wife has celiac disease, which makes going out to eat incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
We've been burned before by people who are saying, oh, this is gluten-free, and it's cross-contaminated, and she's ruined for 3 days.
Right.
But you do offer gluten-free options.
So all of our meats are gluten-free.
Yeah.
All of them. Everything that goes into our fryers is gluten-free. We have a gluten-free fried chicken, but all of our fried chicken is gluten-free. It's a great butter that Legal Seafood had created, I want to say 10 years ago, maybe even longer, and they open-sourced it so everybody could buy it. And it's this fabulous butter that, you know, you're frying food gluten-free, and it's crispy, and it's yummy, and it's... So if you don't order a roll, so if you don't order it on bread, which we do have gluten-free rolls, and you don't get any cornbread or mac and cheese, pretty much everything on your plate, or a quesadilla, everything on your plate is gluten-free. I don't make a special sauce. There's no reason to put gluten in sauce. Oh, well, you want to thicken it. Cook it.
What?
Yeah. I cook it till it gets to the right consistency.
Yeah.
There are other things. We can thicken things with arrowroot. I don't need to, but there are ways to get there that you don't have to use flour.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to put flour on wings to fry them. If you cooked them right, they're going to crisp up just nice.
Mm-hmm.
So most of our menu, 90% of our menu, is gluten-free. We do that because it's, if I can, why shouldn't I? You know, if I can make it gluten-free, why shouldn't I make it gluten-free?
Right.
There are so many people that have issues with gluten that's not celiac, that just, it upsets their stomach, and they can't have too much because they don't feel good tomorrow. Okay, come eat here. We don't use much.
Yeah. Do you advertise that at all?
We put it on some. We probably should have a media push and everything and really kind of have that a center of attention.
Mm. Yeah.
I would say that probably should be a thing.
It helps.
Yeah.
It helps. There's a restaurant that we frequent in Manchester, New Hampshire called the 110 Grill.
Yep.
And they are exclusive. Like, well, they're not exclusive, but they pride themselves.
They can make 110 can make everything on their menu gluten-free.
Yep.
And that's a big company.
It's a chain.
Yeah. And when my wife orders, the manager brings out the gluten-free meals.
Aw.
Not the servers.
Right.
The manager brings it out.
Yeah, put their name on it.
Yep.
Right.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and one of the things that we've done and we've prided ourselves on is trying to be the solution and not the problem.
Yeah.
You know, you can be the problem, you can just be another person in the crowd, or you can be the solution, and we try to be the solution. You know, so we try to, you know, we do sponsorships, you know, but we don't do sponsorships in the traditional sense, like, ooh, we're going to send in a $25 gift card and be part of that raffle. We do sponsorship nights where if an organization comes in and they say, we want to raise money for the Humane Society. Okay. You're going to market it. You're going to tell everybody to come. Everybody's going to have a great experience. They're going to come for dinner. And we're going to give you a piece of the sales that for that whole day.
Yep.
So everybody's ordering lunch. Everybody's ordering dinner, you know, and things like that. We do that for schools. We do that for a lot of the high schools, the sports teams, things like that. You know, because we can help. But I'm not just going to hand somebody a gift card and say, here you go. Because that $25 gift card might help that booster get together a basket that they're going to sell, 30 things of, and they might get $300 or $400. Why don't we have like a barbecue night, and we'll write you a $400 or $500 check, saying, hey, we're really glad you came in, you brought your people, and we're going to give you a piece of it. And some of the other things we want to be the solution, like we have athletic teams, so like, can we use your space for banquets? You know, sports teams, soccer teams, things like that, that they want to have an end-of-the-season banquet. I mean, when we all grew up, there were tons of these sports banquets that we all went to. They're all gone.
Yeah.
Like, they're just gone. And so we're trying to and the problem I see, the way I look at it, is that these kids that aren't going to banquets anymore, that aren't going to these award ceremonies, that aren't going to celebrate their successes and the things that they did that season, whether it was a winning season or not, they're not going to know how to celebrate their employees when they're running companies. They're not going to know how to praise someone for doing a great job with a dinner and an award, because they didn't grow up with that being a fabric of their being. So next year, we're actually going to be rolling out a program. I'm announcing it here first.
Woo-hoo.
Breaking news.
So we're going to roll out a program next year. It's going to be a Futures Leaders Feast. Future Leaders Feast. Well, I need to figure out if that rolls off the tongue or not. And we're bringing the banquets back. So we're going to have a set price, probably about $19 a head, with a pretty much set menu that people can come in. They can take over our restaurant on a Monday when we're closed. Or if they have a smaller group, they can do it in the private event space, the semi-private event space. The walls don't go to the ceiling. But we want to be part of the solution. We want to help fix some of the things that are gone, you know, whether it was stuff that disappeared from COVID or stuff that was just slowly fading away. But celebrating people and making sure people know that they're recognized is missing from our society right now. And these kids, like it or not, are going to be running the country someday. So, yeah, we probably should be trying to teach them how to celebrate people.
That's awesome. What a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that your brainchild?
It was.
Right on.
I saw a need, and well, I was asked to do something, and then I saw how much it was missing in the community, and was like, yeah, I'll do this anytime anybody wants, you know, at all. Whoever needs the space. Like, yeah.
That's great.
Why not?
And you're still catering.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We cater a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
We did 27 weddings this year.
Wow. That's a jump from just you and Jill doing two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. And it's, you know, I mean, it's a mad dash during a time of the year that the restaurant's slow. So, you know, everybody's out catering. We do three a day some Saturdays.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I love it on days that I have to bring something to one event, and then I'm working this middle one, and then I have to go help them break down the other one, because I went to three weddings in one day.
Aw. You've done our office party.
Yeah.
For us multiple times.
Yep. We like office parties. Barbecue. We like that stuff. And it's barbecue's very conducive to that type of event. You know, we drop off a bunch of food. You get a big spread. You know, whether you're going to order a barbecue feast, if you want to feed a dozen people, you know, you get the main barbecue feast, and it's going to feed a dozen construction workers. So, you know, an office party, it's going to have some leftovers. You know, and then there's the family pack that people order in the restaurant. Family of four come in.
Yeah.
And it's a family of four, and they got everything. It's family style. It's you know, you get a big giant tray of food, and you know, it's you see the phones are all out. And then they dig in, and then they're just leaning back like, that was so good.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of family style, Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah.
Talk about that.
Thanksgiving is awesome. So I met a gentleman who owned Q Barbecue down in Georgia. And he had a whole bunch of locations. His biggest day of the year was Thanksgiving. And he told me, he says, you have to do Thanksgiving. I'm like, I spend Thanksgiving with my family. He's like, not anymore. And he just laughed at me. He's like, not anymore. So we did it that year. and I think we sold like 10 birds. I was like, okay, 10 birds with the sides and the stuffing and the gravy and the cranberry. And it was just me and two other employees that came in that day. My wife came in, Jill, to, you know, help sell it and give people their stuff. I think you got one that year.
I did it 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
So that was the second year.
Yeah.
And then the next year we did it, and we did like 20 birds. That was stressful. The level of stress, because I had a lot smaller smoker then. And then last year we did 30, I think. And this year I think we're going to hit 40.
Yeah.
Damn.
And this is the whole deal. It's not just the bird.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So you get about an 18-pound bird pre-cooking. So it's probably about 15, 16 pounds when it's done cooking. You get a turkey. You get three sides. So mashed potatoes or carrots, stuffing, all that happiness. No green bean casserole because I just don't do it. Everybody, too many people.
Make your own.
Too many people have their version. Like,
yeah.
You know, Aunt Linda's green bean casserole is different than Aunt Susie's.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not going to have Uncle Kevin's green bean casserole competing with Aunt Linda or Aunt Susie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we do that, and you get the gravy, and you get the cranberry sauce, and you get that whole thing, and you pick it up hot on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So
you get a pie, too.
Oh, you can get a pie? Absolutely. So all that stuff is there, and people come in between 10 and 12, and they'll pick up their stuff. They bring coolers to bring everything hot. So I call it a cooler. You should call it a warmer, but you literally come in with your cooler. I fill it with hot water, dump out the hot water, and then I put all your hot food in there and send you on your way and wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
We put a towel in ours to kind of soak up any moisture, too.
Yeah.
I think you had recommended that, and it worked really, really well. Everybody was thrilled. It was delicious.
And you have a clean kitchen.
We had so much food left over. And we had a big group of people, so much food left over.
It's called Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You're supposed to eat Thanksgiving for like a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you do individual portions, too, though.
Yeah, we'll do the individual meals, and we've set aside a limited number of just turkeys. So like, you know, people that just want a turkey and, you know, there's a couple of companies that have reached out to us to make sure that they're feeding because they have staff like, Tambrands has an addition going on. So Chimbro's working and Tambrands going to be working just a skeleton crew because they're closed. So we're going to be feeding them this Thanksgiving. We fed them last Thanksgiving.
Nice.
And it's just, you know, why not? If I'm doing it and, you know, we have a limited amount of staff and, you know, the guy from Q Barbecue said it's your work at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And he said, eventually it's going to be the biggest day of the year. And it very well might be. And that'd be awesome.
And you guys have a cutoff time. You can go home and you can have your dinner with your
family. Yeah, so the pickup is from 10 to 12. So you pick up at noon by noon. And then that's it. Everybody goes home. We have pretty much had all the cleaning done. You know, we set up a small area. The kitchen is done with everything by 11:30.
Nice.
And now everything's in a warmer. So people are coming by, and okay, Susie's here. Here you go. Here's your stuff, Susie. You know, and Rob and I are out in the back scrubbing everything down and hosing down and going home.
Yes.
Kevin, what's the best compliment you have received in your career?
Best compliment I have received in my career, I distinctly remember it. I had an apple-braised pork shank on a onion fennel slaw at the Brunswick Hotel across from Bowdoin College. These things were massive and fat, but it was mostly bone. It was a big, giant pork shank, like the size of your forearm. And a gentleman calls me out to the dining room, and just a big, you know, looked like a big farmer, you know. And I said, yes, sir, what's going on? He says, you make this swine? Yes, sir.
Swine?
Yeah, no, not even like, there's no, like, nice words like, hello, sir, how are you? Did you make this pork dish? Nope, did you make this swine? Yep. Yeah, I did. Absolutely, yes. Was it good? He says, sir, that's some of the best pig I've had in my life, and I've been a pig farmer since I was a little boy.
Wow.
Oh, wow. There you go.
I was just like, scrape my jaw off the floor, reattach that, walk into the kitchen, not knowing what to say. Found out later that one of his kids went to Bowdoin, and he had something like 6,000 pigs on his farm for Smithfield. Like, this wasn't like I have a small pig farm with 50
Smithfield.
Pigs.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was a producer for Smithfield, and it was something like he has between 6,000 and 10,000 pigs on his property at any given time.
Incredible.
And he loved yours.
And I was just like, okay.
Impressive.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm done.
But the compliment that I get a lot is from brides and grooms.
Mm.
Thank you. Like that thank you from a bride and groom that, You made our day possible. You made our day easy. You made our day so that we didn't have to think about that part. Yeah. That's huge. Like, you help make somebody's wedding. Yeah.
Help make it better.
Right. Just make it.
Yeah.
Not be the problem.
Yeah. Right.
Not be Uncle Joe that's drunk in the corner. Like,
right.
You were the solution. No, thank you. Everything was great. People are still talking about the food. Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, you want to make somebody's wedding. Like, I mean, there's a lot of things you could do good in life. Let's make somebody's wedding awesome.
All right. One more question before we move on to our final segment. What's the craziest experience you've had, either in the kitchen or front of house, in a restaurant in your career?
I had a small part in a 5,000-person sit-down dinner at the Boston Convention Center.
Hmm.
I was the buyer at the Boston Convention Center, and we had a 5,000-person sit-down dinner.
Oh, God.
That the only reason we got that convention was because Hurricane Katrina had wiped out Louisiana, New Orleans.
Yeah.
So the New Orleans Convention Center was gone. So we got the convention, and that was an insane 20 or so days of my life. That is an all-around blur that I learned more than I've ever learned in any given time. But that was insane.
Yeah.
So that was the craziest by far. Like, I saw things, and they were just like, yeah, well, we do it this way. And I'm like, you do what? And they're like, yeah, well, we have a person with a flag saying sit here. And they're just walking from table to table to table as people are coming down an escalator, getting sat at a table. And they are fed with the meal that they requested, whether they wanted steak or they wanted chicken or they wanted fish, and with a bottle of wine on the table. And they sat at a table of 12. And then as those 12 people sat down, 12 more people sat down.
Wow.
And 5,000 people were fed within an hour and a half.
Whew.
My mind was blown.
That's incredible.
That's some organization right
there. Oh, yeah.
Holy
cow.
Absolutely.
That's some big brain stuff that's way beyond anything I can think of.
Yeah.
Next year marks 30 years of Uncle Andy's Digest. What started as a beloved print publication has grown into Lydia Media, a full-service marketing partner helping local businesses thrive. From LA Metro Magazine and the Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast to social media management, website design, and advertising across all platforms, we've got your marketing needs covered. If you're a business making a difference in our community, let's connect. Lydia Media is here to tell your story and help you grow. Lydia Media, in business, for business. Learn more at lydiamediallc.com.
All right, Kevin, it is time for our final segment.
Mm-hmm.
It's three random questions where we're going to ask you questions that have nothing to do with the restaurant industry or Burnt Ends Barbecue. We're just trying to get to know you a little better.
All right.
As a member of our community. All right, Kevin, if you were presented with a time machine, you could take one round trip to the past or to the future.
I've
where would you go?
Question before.
And why?
So if it was just someplace to go to see something, I'd like to go to probably like Woodstock or something.
Mm.
Like if I just want to go to a show, like give me 3 days at Woodstock. Sure, I'll probably be dirty, gross, and not have the memories that everybody sees on TV. But like, I can say that I was there. Mm. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm. Who would you want to see the most at Woodstock?
God, I don't know. You know, the anthem by Hendrix, but,
yeah.
You know, do you, what do you want to see? The Dead? Do you want to see the Stones? Like, I've seen the Stones. The Stones are awesome. But, like, yeah, it's the whole thing, the vibe, all the different bands. The bands in between the bands, no, they never made it, but they were amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. JC, what do you got?
Outside of making amazing barbecue, what's something that you're really good at or really enjoy doing?
I can fix stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I can fidget and fix and repair, and I can build a deck. I can build a house. My father, when I got out of high school, I moved down to Maryland with my father, and I built houses for him. And we built the house for the richest man in Maryland, Morton Blaustein. And he owned Crown Petroleum, and I built stuff. I can fix stuff.
You built a beautiful bar.
My father-in-law built a beautiful bar.
Did you help?
Paul Fournier, thank you very much. I love you. I will always appreciate you. And Dave Harvey, who was a huge asset in building out that restaurant, I will always appreciate you. Thank you very, very much.
There, you got that in.
Yeah. There's a long list of other people.
I'm sure. I'm sure. You ready for mine?
I'm as ready as I can be.
If you had to eat a crayon, what color would you choose and why?
Orange.
Why?
pumpkins and burnt ends orange, and mm-hmm. I like orange. I love fall. I love the change of seasons. Mm-hmm. You give me a change of season, I'm happy. I don't think I ever want to live outside of New England because I get all four seasons, you know, and my sister who lives in Florida, who grew up in Quincy, Massachusetts with me, she gets all one season. Well, I guess she gets rain season and one. Yeah, I love my seasons. I love orange. I love that change of season because it tells me that the year is changing and it tells me that the new year is coming.
Orange crayon.
Yeah.
It's a great answer to that question.
Yeah, it is. It's a weird question.
It is. It's an incredibly weird question.
Do I get a grade? Do I get a review?
A plus.
Yeah.
All right. I get a report card to bring back to my boss.
In fact, Kevin, I am hearing from our producers right now, and they said that you did so well on three random questions, they want to turn it into four random questions.
Oh, here we go.
So you got one more.
All right. I'm
good with that?
Yeah.
This hardly ever happens to
hardly
our guests.
Ever.
Well, I appreciate it. I like to be rare.
I think they're saying what put you over the top was your answer to the crayon question.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, if there was a movie made about your life, what would be the one scene people talked about on the way home?
It would have to be the montage at the end. The montage of all the different snips of all the different things. I touch so many lives that people don't understand the concept of how many lives I touch. So I touch all these weddings. But I also hire kids, and I teach kids how to be better humans. You know, I have a young man in the kitchen. He's like, "Hey, dude." And I'm like, "Yes, sir." He's like, "Oh, yes, sir." And I say, "No, you don't have to call me sir. I'm going to call you sir." Because you deserve that level of respect. And there are people that have come through my kitchen that I had an employee that I was driving down the road, and he pulls up next to me, and he puts his window down. I'm like, "Hey." He's like, "Hey." He goes, "I just bought this car." And it was a brand-new Durango, and he's got his wife and his kids in the car, and he's so excited, and he's gone somewhere. And when he left my restaurant, he tried to quit because he wanted to go to HVAC school. I says, "Why are you going to quit?" "Well, I won't be. I'm going to be in school." I'm like, "How are you going to pay for school?" "Oh, well, they got a program. And how are you going to feed yourself while you're at school? And how are you going to pay for gas? And how are you going to pay for this?" I'm like, "We're going to adjust your hours, and we're going to adjust your schedule, and you're going to go to school, but you're going to still work because you need money." And he messaged me like, you know, 2-3 years later saying, "I have friends that just left their jobs, and they suffered that entire time." So the montage at the end of the movie is the part that's going to be, because my life would be how I touched all these people's lives, how I interacted with them. And then the clips of every single person is what'll get them, because I love people.
Who taught you how to be a good human?
My mother, the greatest woman I ever knew. There were so many people at her funeral that, yeah, my mother.
Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It has been fun. Burnt Ends Barbecue, 120 Center Street in Auburn. You can go online to burntendsmaine.com. Thanks to Rupert's Beverage and Redemption and DuBois Electric for sponsoring today's episode. And if you'd like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam Ashby via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com.
Have a great day. And remember, don't bite your cat.